It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
There it is. The stage is set. Two podiums in place. Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump just minutes away. There you see the countdown clock. Anything can happen tonight. The White House at stake.
She lacks the judgment and moral character to lead this country.
A man who can be provoked by a tweet should not be anywhere near nuclear weapons.
She suffers from very bad judgment.
I am so looking forward to debating Donald Trump. I can't wait.
The wait is over. Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump. It all starts right here, right now, live from Hofstra University. The first presidential debate. Now reporting, George Stephanopoulos.
Good evening and welcome to the most pivotal moment in the most unpredictable presidential race ever. So much on the line these next 90 minutes. So many of our fellow citizens tuning in, 100 million, maybe more, taking the measure of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. It promises to be the most watched political showdown in American history. And as the candidates take that stage tonight, the latest national polls show them locked in a dead heat. Trump winning big with men and white voters. Clinton strong with women, Latinos, and black voters. America's fault lines clearly exposed and exploited in this election.
All right, so that's how it started for ABC last night. You know, I'm just thinking, as I'm listening to that music, that's a case where a very huge orchestra can make a very little man sound big. That's George excuse me, George, but honestly, that kind of is true. That's the way they set it up, and that's the drama with which the debate began last night. I think it's true that about 100 million people estimated watched the debate. I'm sure that most of you listening to me watched it, and it's our intent today to open the phone lines. Because I really think, more importantly than what the pundits and the talking heads are saying, is really what you thought about it. And we're going to go there in just a second. But I've asked Mark Kokori to join me this morning. Mark is the executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies. And Mark, I can't think of anyone really that I would rather talk to or would enjoy more talking to this morning than Mark because of his great perspective on things. So, Mark, thanks for joining us.
And well, thanks for having me.
Were you there last night?
Well, I wasn't in Long Island. I was watching the thing. I could have gone to bed early because immigration never came up. I mean, how can the man's number one issue, never be raised in any question, not to mention all of Hillary's weaknesses not even being raised in any question? So, I don't know. I mean, my sense, it was a pretty anticlimactic debate. I mean, Hillary didn't have a seizure, and Trump didn't say anything dumber than usual, so it strikes me as kind of a wash as far as the effect on the election goes.
Well, I think I agree with you on that, Mark. I had predicted, not that matters what I predicted, but I thought Hillary Clinton, if she felt well, would knock it out of the ballpark because this is her bailiwick. She is, right. After all, an attorney and has been since she was in her 20s. She's used to, you know, defending. She's a masterful liar. She can do all kinds of things on her feet. I knew that if she felt well, she could make mincemeat of Donald Trump because facts and figures are not his strong suit. And I think she sort of did last night, really. Unless you knew the facts, you might come away from that thinking that she had really sort of done a number on him. But he got his zingers in, too.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think basically you're right. If this were a debate competition and there were judges judging it, she clearly would have won. But it's not just because, you know, she has facts and figures and all the rest of it and he doesn't. It's because he didn't even take the opportunities that were there. I mean, you know, she starts talking about cybersecurity and protecting our information online. I mean, what kind of tee-up do you need to, you know, look at her and say, seriously, Mrs. Clinton? You know, the Russians have all of our secrets because you use this private server that was a criminal act, and you're lecturing us about security on the internet? I mean, those are the opportunities that really would have potentially have been, you know, you're no JFK type moments, you know, back from the Quayle Benson debate years ago, that would have been memorable, and he didn't take them. I mean, that's not a facts and figures issue. I think he just, I don't think he prepares for these things. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious from the primary debates, and I think it was, again, pretty obvious from last night.
You know, Mark, I found myself wondering if it seemed like he was overcorrecting, like he was trying to be so much of a gentleman to her, which he was, that he didn't go after her, which he should have. Now, he did on a few points. That's true. But I'm with you. There were like holes, major holes, you know, on the financial situation. He never mentioned the Clinton
right.
Foundation and how they handled their money while she spent, you know, what, 15 minutes attacking his personal finances and the way he handles money. And he never said a word about the travesty that is the Clinton Foundation, the sham, the it's just amazing. I can't believe he didn't respond to that.
Yeah. And likewise, you know, she's blaming the housing crisis on tax cuts for some reason. There's, of course, no connection between them at all. But again, there's an opportunity there because she's the candidate of Wall Street and Goldman Sachs. I mean, you know, he was in a position to say, look, I'm a wealthy man. I know all of these people, but I'm a traitor to my class. I'm pushing issues that the people I rub elbows with don't like, whereas Mrs. Clinton is basically just a sock puppet for the financial interests of Wall Street. You know, I mean, how hard is this? Anyway, I think he it's always been clear that he thought he could kind of wing it all the way to the White House, and that's not the case, and it's just good that there's two more debates coming up, and hopefully Kellyanne Conway and Steve Bannon will try to beat some sense into him.
On the issue of immigration, Mark, I was stunned, too. Of course, Lester Holt, we have not talked about him. We should. It was amazing. Let's just say he got his talking points, because he certainly did serve it up for Mrs. Clinton on every question. Even the opening question was a setup for the left. Because he talked about how wonderful the economy is and how jobs are improving. And, you know, that was a setup. That was a gift to Donald Trump, too, to say, are you kidding me?
Right.
But that's how almost every question was kind of a soft serve for her. He interrupted Trump numerous times, much more than Mrs. Clinton. He admonished the audience for interrupting when they were cheering for Donald Trump, one of the statements that he did make and make well. I think it was on the email. But then he let the crowd cheer for Mrs. Clinton without stopping them. I mean, it was so obvious that I was surprised at I thought he'd be more subtle.
Well, I mean, my sense is, you know, he had been attacked before the debate by the left to make sure that he did what he wanted to do. And the message was pretty clear. You know, if you value your career, if you ever want to have lunch in this town again, you better do what we tell you and go after Trump. And I think he, you know, as much as he may have tried to resist that in his own mind, he clearly gave into that. So, yeah, I mean, and the questions, look, there were hard questions for Trump, and he deserved hard questions. But where were the hard questions for Hillary? I mean, it was
there
really
were none.
Was, right?
Well, there were none.
Right.
There were no hard questions for her. And I think even on the issue, certainly on the issue of immigration, I felt it was certainly Lester Holt dropped the ball, yes, but then it was up to Donald Trump to bring those things up. It's like he didn't understand that he, Mr. Aggressive, didn't understand that in that debate, he needed to be the aggressor. He had to bring up things that were not going. He had lots of time to do that. He could have pivoted, and I'm sure you were deeply disappointed that he didn't make immigration a hallmark of his statements.
Yeah, no question about it. And look, I mean, he is who he is. I mean, he wasn't my first choice or yours, and, you know, I understand. And there's a good reason for it. I mean, he has extreme weaknesses as a candidate. He's got obviously his other strengths, which is why the race is neck and neck. But, you know, one of them is he's just not that good at this kind of debating thing. And a real weakness also, and, you know, Hillary recognized this and took advantage of it quite effectively, is his thin skin. You know, she was poking him about, you know, the inheriting the money from his dad and his various business dealings and all that. And he spent a ridiculous amount of time defending himself on that instead of just, you know, laughing it off and attacking her instead. I mean, look, he's got real weaknesses, and there's only so much changing he's going to be able to do.
No, that was absolutely true. He went off on rabbit trails talking about defending himself to minutia, which was not necessary when he could have used that time to turn on her, which he didn't do. He got so focused on his own defense that he did not go after her weaknesses on the same issue. So, but I'm with you. I mean, I don't know how you fix that at this point in life. I guess the thing that encourages me, Mark, is that the people that he's surrounding himself with, who would be the policy people in his cabinet and on his transition team, are the best of the best. They are. They're the best of the best on immigration. Just heard this morning that Myron E. Bell is going to be his appointment for energy. Energy and I'm not sure what the other designation is, but Myron is someone that you and I both know.
Right.
He is a so-called, you know, climate denier. Yeah, so, I mean, he's surrounding himself. He had another list of judicial nominees that came out yesterday. They're excellent. Mike Lee, or 2 days ago, Mike Lee was on that list. These are the things that people are causing conservatives to come behind him, but not because of his performance last night, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, this is just me as a citizen, not the Center for Immigration Studies, because the Center doesn't take positions on this kind of thing. But, you know, honestly, I mean, it's only slightly exaggerating to say that I'd vote for a ham sandwich instead of Hillary Clinton. You know, I mean, the goal here, I mean, I'm not enthused about this guy, although your point about his advisors being good is definitely true, especially with regard to immigration. I know less about the other areas, but that's absolutely true. And we know that Hillary's, you know, advisors, whoever they are going to be terrible. But it really comes down to, I'm not voting for Trump, I'm voting against Hillary. The whole point is, this has to be a referendum on, should Hillary Clinton be allowed to come back into the White House? Yes or no? That's the only question people should be thinking about going to the polls.
Mark, how did you think, let's talk about her just for a second, how did you think she did? I mean, can you be objective? Is it possible?
Yeah, I think she did pretty well. You mean in the debate?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I think she did pretty well. I mean, her hand wasn't shaking. She had no tremors. She didn't have a seizure. I mean, that's the first mark, because, you know, I'm sure they pumped her full of drugs to make sure that she looked healthy, and she did. And she carried herself well. Look, she knew Trump's weak points, and she poked them, and he responded. I mean, he took the bait every time. She did a good job, I got to say. I mean, if this were a kind of, you know, a forensic debate like in college where you're graded on how you did it, she clearly won. But that's not what this is about. This is about moving the needle in the election and convincing people. And I don't think this debate, you know, her having won this debate really makes much difference one way or the other. There needed to be, for this debate to matter, there needed to be some kind of dramatic, memorable thing that you could quote 20 years from now. Hey, remember that thing that happened? In other words, her collapsing or coughing uncontrollably, or his saying something even dumber than usual. None of those things happened. And so, you know, this debate, even though it seemed really, really consequential going into it, I don't think ended up really being all that important.
Yeah, except that Mrs. Clinton probably saved her bacon a little bit because
she
was descending. I think it might have changed it might have staunched the bleed in her support in the polls, but we'll see, won't we? All right, Mark, listen, I appreciate you getting up early this morning and spending a few minutes with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sandy.
All right. Well, coming back, I want to open the phone lines because you were watching and I really want to know what you think. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. How did you think Mrs. Clinton and Donald Trump did? Has it changed your mind in any way? Anything stand out to you? Lester Holt? All of it. All of it. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
I feel so hopeless.
Is there any hope? I just feel like there's no hope at all.
Is there any hope?
Get hope.
Last Friday night, I was asked to talk on the devastating effect of pride and the positive spiritual effects of humility.
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
Now, humility in a true spiritual sense is realizing who I am in light of who God is, and then recognizing that I'm ultimately a servant, a body in which the Holy Spirit dwells, and I'm becoming more like Jesus as I live in His awareness and presence. Aggressive humility, aggressively taking action for the Lord, and yet living in humility, realizing that Jesus is the authority of my life, is a secret to a healthy spirit and heart. Being healthy spiritually gives rise to hope.
Need more hope? We have resources waiting for you, including a free devotional. You'll find them at GetHopeRadio.com. That's GetHopeRadio.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next.
Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for a career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu.
The first presidential debate is over, and here are my thoughts. Donald Trump came to debate, Hillary Clinton came to insult, and moderator Lester Holt was auditioning for a job as Mrs. Clinton's press secretary. There was quite a bit of bluster and bloviating, not much in the way of substance. That's because the questions were designed to put Donald Trump on the defense, badgering him about President Obama's birth certificate and whether he plans on releasing his income tax returns. Mrs. Clinton even suggested Mr. Trump owed all of his success to his father. On the other hand, it's possible Mrs. Clinton would not have had the success she's had it not been for her husband, the former president. More on that issue on my website, toddstarnes.com. Meanwhile, lots of fact-checking going on, from trade policies to the war in Iraq, but the biggest whopper of the night came from Mrs. Clinton when she told Mr. Trump she was glad to see him. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
We're calling this opening segment Achieving Prosperity, and central to that is jobs. There are two economic realities in America today. There's been a record six straight years of job growth, and new census numbers show incomes have increased at a record rate after years of stagnation. However, income inequality remains significant, and nearly half of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. Beginning with you, Secretary Clinton, why are you a better choice than your opponent to create the kinds of jobs that will put more money into the pockets of American workers?
That's the way it started last night, and so you kind of see what I mean. Sandy Rios back with you. That was Lester Holt. That was the first question. Six straight years of job growth? Are you kidding me? Look around in your neighborhoods, the people in your own life. They're making less money. They're working less. They're doing part-time jobs. They're holding down several jobs. They're struggling. Now, there are people at the top that are doing better. No question about it. Six straight years of job growth. Income's increasing. I mean, I do know what stats he's looking at, the ones coming out of the Obama administration. And, of course, Donald Trump did not argue back. Lester went on to ask. It was amazing. Then he asks about the birther incident. That's what he chooses to ask Donald Trump about. And actually, it's Donald Trump was inarticulate, but it's true that it was Mrs. Clinton when she was running against Barack Obama who went after Barack Obama's birthplace. It's true that it came out of her campaign. And Donald Trump tried to explain that, but of course they spent a long time attacking him on that and how silly, and she kept, you know, rolling her eyes, and then on his income tax. So those were the questions that Lester Holt chose to ask. And he didn't mention anything about Mrs. Clinton's email, her private server, about Benghazi, about Libya, nothing, nothing about that. It's absolutely true. It was just amazing. I mean, I think even, except for the New York Times' Nicholas Kristof, who thought it was wonderful, I think even the left recognizes that Lester had a side in the debate last night, and it wasn't Donald Trump's. All right, but I want to know what you think. One last thing I want to play for you. Donald Trump got in. This is one moment where I thought he made several good points last night, but I want you to hear this one about the email.
I've been under audit almost for 15 years. I know a lot of wealthy people that have never been audited. I said, do you get audited? I get audited almost every year. And in a way, I should be complaining. I'm not even complaining. I don't mind it. It's almost become a way of life. I get audited by the IRS, but other people don't. I will say this. We have a situation in this country that has to be taken care of. I will release my tax returns against my lawyer's wishes. When she releases her 33,000 emails that have been deleted, as soon as she releases them, I will release my tax returns.
All right, that was a good moment for Donald Trump. The audience is cheering. So Lester Holt rebukes them for yelling. And then when Mrs. Clinton makes points later on, he says nothing to the audience when they start cheering for her. So the rule is that they weren't supposed to cheer at all. So it's just a stacked deck against Donald Trump last night from Lester Holt. No question about it. But let's go. I want to hear what you have to say. Let's go to Toby in Arkansas. Good morning, Toby.
Good morning, Sandy. Hey, I agree with the assessment for the most part that you and the other gentleman made earlier. Hillary is a professional debater and a professional liar, and she came across very strong last night. Trump did make a few good points, but I think in some cases he was probably overcoached in trying to be nice and decent to her. He's not going to be able to be nice and decent when you're dealing with a pit bull, a nasty pit bull. I'm not saying that he has to revert to nastiness and some of the things he's done in the past, but he's going to have to be very strong and very on point and be able to take these conversations and take her personal attacks and turn them right around on her. For instance, there toward the last, Hillary started talking about some of Trump's former comments that he's made against women in a negative way. Perfect opportunity for him to turn around and attack her on the attacks that she made against Bill Clinton's sexual assault victims. She was nasty. She was cruel. She decimated those women. Hillary is no advocate of true femininity and honest women in our culture. They need to quit coaching him to be so nice and try to come across as the perfect gentleman. This is war, and we must win.
You know, Toby, I agree with everything you just said. I feel the same way. And I heard Donald Trump say this morning, interestingly enough, you know, when she released that tirade, if I have a chance, I'm going to play that. And she points out all the things he said about Rosie O'Donnell. She does this litany. He didn't really respond strongly. And he said this morning that he had in mind, he had some things in his head he was going to say. He was going to talk about Bill Clinton's infidelities. He said, but Chelsea was in the audience there, and she's a nice girl. And he said, I didn't want to do that. And I just decided not to do it. And so good for him, except that, Toby, you're right. This is a fight, and he's going to have to learn to fight the right way. He can't, you know, make fun of her looks. He can't say she's overweight. He can't make fun of her sickness, but he has to come back and fight her with the facts, and there's plenty of material. You know, even on that question, he could have talked about how she calls his American people deplorables. You know, how she mocks people. That she herself is guilty of saying horrible things about regular Americans, not celebrities. But he didn't take the opportunity. And I'm with you. He's going to have to learn to do that. Thank you, Toby. Thank you very, very much. Let's go to Tara in Oklahoma. Good morning, Tara.
Good morning, Ms. Rios. I just want to say, first of all, thank you for what you do. I'm a new listener within the past 6 months, and I am so impressed and so grateful for what you are doing out there, a voice for those of us that feel the way that you do.
Thank you,
I agree with your previous... You're welcome, ma'am. I agree with your previous caller. Exactly. He took a lot of the points that I was going to make, and he did them well. Also, the speaker that you had on, or the guest recent past couple moments, that spoke about the fact that this is no longer about a fight for who we want in the White House. This is a fight against who we don't. And so my frustration was last night it was uncomfortable. I saw many opportunities that he chose not to take that truly any eighth grade debater could have gone ahead and made great comments against. And I, the frustration of the fact that she stood there smug, almost smarmy. She just really enjoyed every moment of watching him continue to spiral. And so my concern is, I hate to use a term such as doomed, but truly our country is, it feels like it's doomed, and last night just felt like another whack in the face.
Tara, thanks for listening. Don't give up yet. I have actually in the last few months been more encouraged because, for one thing, I've seen the people that Trump is appointing, and they are stellar. His performance on the stage last night disappointed me, and certainly even some of his, you know, he's self-focused. He is who he is. But I have to say he is appointing really fine people. And that means a great deal to me. So don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Because I was just reading an article a few minutes ago about some undecideds in a bar in Pennsylvania. And they actually thought they liked Trump better. They didn't like Hillary. They didn't like the way she came across. You know, a lot of people don't follow the details of policy like some of us do. And so they don't necessarily want someone to go down in the weeds and, you know, list every detail. They kind of resonate with Donald Trump's broad sweeping statements more than they do her details. So you don't know how this is going to play out. So don't be discouraged. But of course, I say that, but let me hasten to add that the solutions to our problems are not political. They are spiritual. It is God himself who will have to transform this country, and it's our hearts and our minds. And I don't want to ever give the impression that I think winning an election is going to be the salvation of this country. But I think humanly speaking, it's something that has to happen. The conservative, Christian, moral part of this country must prevail in this election. Thank you very much, Tara. I appreciate your comments. This is Carolina in Virginia. Carolina, what did you think?
Hi, good morning. It's Carolina.
Carolina.
Carolina, yes. I really appreciate you. I admire you. My goodness, you are just so informational and so helpful, and you encourage me, and by keeping me informed, even though it's frustrating to hear the news, I really appreciate hearing it from an area that I can trust. Regarding Mrs. Clinton's and Mr. Trump's debate last night, you know, I am not a supporter of Donald J. Trump at all. but last night, I really got very aggravated at how Mrs. Clinton continued to try to, you know, the way she was speaking was more instructional, like, let me educate you, you know, you poor peasants, about how things are. And, you know, she just, the way she carried herself, I thought, wow, I felt like she was talking down to the general populace in many ways, and she was a bit smug. Mr. Trump was hilarious to watch because everything showed on his face. I mean, like everything, every emotion he had. And I was like, wow, you know, while I agree that he could have been a little bit more contained about that, I appreciated his transparency. You could pretty much see what he was thinking. but the thing that he said that resonated most with me, and that I was thinking, yes, Mrs. Clinton has been here and has been there in different capacities, but he kept saying she has been in office 30 years. She has been in government in one way or another 30 years. And why has she not corrected things? 30 years. And I thought, yeah, 30 years. And what makes us think that she's going to be any different now than she has been before? And what makes us think she's going to bring about any positive change when she's been part of the problem all along? So, you know, despite the fact that some may feel that Mr. Trump failed miserably, he actually resonated with me quite a bit last night.
Oh, isn't that interesting? That's really interesting, Carolina. I don't think he failed miserably, unless I gave that impression. I was disappointed that he did not. I thought in the last half of the debate he sort of lost his steam a bit, and I thought he laid back way too much. I wanted him to be more aggressive, like I've seen him be, without being blustery and insulting. Maybe that's what's, you know, it's hard for him to do that. But he let her walk all over him on a couple of occasions. But I do think, I'm with you, she seemed like smug, like almost a predator who got her prey and was so pleased with herself. It was really kind of unseemly. I don't like her. You know, I've watched her for all of these years. I know too much about her. I thought her hair looked gorgeous. Her suit was lovely. She looked all put together. She looked healthy. I'm glad she's healthy. But I'm not glad that she is really even still ahead of the polls, even though Trump is moving up. And I thought that she was a little creepy last night and off-putting. But it'd be interesting to see if other people feel that way as well. Carolina, I love your name, and thanks for calling. All right, let's go to Margaret. Margaret in Arkansas, what did you think about last night?
I agree. I think I was hoping that Donald Trump would be bringing up a lot of the things like the Benghazi. And, you know, he could have rebutted to her when she was talking about being in the courtroom, standing there so long, about why she was even there in the first place. So I think there's a lot of points that he could have brought out that shows what kind of politician she really is. But I think, just like our previous callers, I think that if the things that really resonated with me, that would let me think that Donald Trump actually had some good points about the emails and the 30 years that she's been and that she's just now thinking about it. I just love the way he pointed out some of those things. And I love what our last caller said about his transparency. I agree, because she just her looks and some of her banter, I could tell a little bit that she was shaken up. And then she spent way too much time trying to talk about his policies and things that weren't necessarily accurate, and versus talking about how she actually was going to do things differently. So I thought that Donald Trump did pretty good last night, too.
I think that's a good point, Margaret. In that article I mentioned a few minutes ago, all these undecideds in this bar in Pennsylvania, that's one of the things they said. They didn't hear anything from Mrs. Clinton. They didn't really hear her say anything about what she would really do. And so it was interesting, because they are not necessarily plugged in. They're not paying attention, but that was their impression. This is just one article and one group of people in a bar, but it's still pretty interesting to add that to the mix. Margaret, thanks a lot for your comments. Let's go to Illinois and see what Jonathan thinks. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning. Yes, I was not able to hear it, but I at least not live. But a coworker and I happen to have a lot of downtime on our hands, and so we listened to a great deal of it. And we actually spent a lot of time either laughing or shaking our heads and discussing what we were hearing. And Hillary Clinton didn't come off very well, at least not over audio. Donald Trump did himself no favors, but it seemed like to both of us that the greatest person that ended up, again, on audio that got hurt was Lester Holt. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton both pretty much seemed to walk right all over him whenever he was trying to stop him from making a point or anything, and would go on, even when they had been going on almost entirely too long, especially sometimes in the case of Donald Trump when he got rambling. It seemed to me like Lester Holt ended up being the kind of a big loser of the night.
Jonathan, it's really interesting to hear this from you, because yesterday was the anniversary of that first televised debate in 1960 between Kennedy and Nixon, when such people drew such different conclusions that listened on the radio than the ones who watched on television, different impressions. So it's really interesting to me that you listened and to hear your impressions of it. So, thank you for adding that to the discussion. All right, we have to take a break. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Next time on Today's Issues, we'll talk with Timothy Paul Jones, author of Practical Family Ministry.
Now, I, of course, being a very sharing child, decided when I found that snake that it needed to be shared. And so I happened to notice a girl named Rachel. And so I went up to Rachel and I shared the snake. I dropped it down the back of her jumper.
That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
Christians have an exciting opportunity to help our country this election cycle. In 2012, 20 to 30 million Christians did not vote, and leaders were chosen without our input. That many votes can turn an election. We have an opportunity this year to put our nation back on course. Voter registration is open till October 8th in most states. Make sure you're registered to vote. And then on Election Day, make sure to vote. Be an informed voter. Visit AFAaction.net to get the AFA Action Voter Guide.
One of the more emotional times on our tour of Israel is when we go to the house of Caiaphas. This is where Jesus Christ was held the night before his appearance before Pilate. And we see the dungeon where he was held. And it's just a very striking thing to be there knowing our Lord suffered in this way and was treated in this way. That's one of the places we'll visit is the house of Caiaphas, where the trial took place as well. Well, for more information on our tour of Israel and all the places we'll see and all the places we'll go, it's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country. Our phone number is 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5 for more information. Or if you want to go on the internet, twholyland.com. Go to the website, twholyland.com. Come see the land of the Bible with us in March.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. During last night's debate between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, the internet got only passing mention. That's deeply regrettable since President Obama is poised at week's end to surrender control of a function essential to the internet's future operations and integrity. Yesterday, I joined nearly 80 prominent national security and cyber professionals in warning the civilian and uniformed leadership of the Pentagon that the military, our critical infrastructure, and the American people could be grievously affected if hostile powers are able to manipulate or compromise the internet. We concluded that, quote, "There is, to our knowledge, no compelling reason for exposing the national security to such a risk by transferring our remaining control of the internet in this way at this time," unquote. To prevent such harm, the Pentagon's leaders should oppose this misbegotten initiative, and the Congress must act now to block it. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
This is a man who has called women pigs, slobs, and dogs, and someone who has said pregnancy is an inconvenience to employers, who has said women don't deserve equal pay unless they do as good a job as men. And one of the worst things he said was about a woman in a beauty contest. He loves beauty contests, supporting them and hanging around them. And he called this woman Miss Piggy. Then he called her Miss Housekeeping because she was Latina. Donald, she has a name.
Where did you find
her? Her name is Alicia Machado.
Where did you find her?
And she has become a U.S. citizen, and you can bet she's going to vote this November.
Okay, good. Let me just tell you.
Mr. Trump, can you take 10 seconds, and then we're going to have the final question.
Hillary is hitting me with tremendous commercials. Some of it said in entertainment. Some of it said somebody who's been very vicious to me, Rosie O'Donnell. I said very tough things to her, and I think everybody would agree that she deserves it, and nobody feels sorry for her. But you want to know the truth? I was going to say something extremely rough to Hillary, to her family, and I said to myself, I can't do it. I just can't do it. It's inappropriate. It's not nice. But she spent hundreds of millions of dollars on negative ads on me, many of which are absolutely untrue. They're untrue and they're misrepresentations. And I will tell you this, Lester, it's not nice, and I don't deserve that. But it's certainly not a nice thing that she's done. It's hundreds of millions of ads. And the only gratifying thing is I saw the polls come in today. And with all of that money, over $200 million is spent, and I'm either winning or tied, and I've spent practically nothing.
All right, so that was actually a very good example of the illustration of when Trump was not able to really articulate his own defense. But, you know, it was funny when he said, no, that was Rosie O'Donnell, but everybody agrees she deserves it. It's just funny. That's just quintessential Trump. And he said this morning, I heard him say again, he saw Chelsea in the audience and he felt, I can't go there, about her dad and all those women. And so I don't know. That kind of moves me a little bit, and it was to his disadvantage that he did that. All right, let's go back to the phones because I want to know what you think. And we want to go to Michigan first and talk to John. John, what are your thoughts about it?
My thoughts is that he won 100% of the debate last night. Only won because he spoke on jobs, and that's what he's been speaking on since day one. And I Trump. 100%.
All right, so you think Trump won last night. All right, John, thank you very much. Let's go to New Jersey and talk to Kevin. Good morning, Kevin. What do you think?
Good morning, Sandy. Aside from wanting to come to the TV about 20 times last night, I found it really interesting that if Donald had taken all of the opportunities that were tossed to him, he could have splayed Hillary Clinton. I mean, there were so many opportunities. If this is an indication as to how easy, if Donald is on his game, that he could expose all the things that we know about her to the public who's listening, and I'm sure doesn't know about her, I think the next debate should be his pretty handily. But I think I wish Donald had said something from the moderator's opening statement about how great the economy is. Anybody who has got a heartbeat would know that this is the worst recovery in the history of our country for jobs. No one I know is comfortable in their job or is not fearing for losing their job or is making less than what they probably were 10 years ago. You know, there's so many opportunities. It was obvious that the moderator was, I mean, he should have just been standing up there next to Hillary and giving her big hugs and kisses. But I will say this, the 90 minutes that I had to endure of that woman's voice was like someone scratching their fingers on a chalkboard to me. It was unbelievable. So if Donald gets some coaching and can bring up some of these things. There were so many times I wanted to just say, wait a minute, back up.
I know. You know, I have to say, because I've been in not that situation, but certainly debating on television, when you're debating with people on the left, it's very hard sometimes because they'll come at you with, James Carville was one of the most difficult I ever debated because you'd say one thing and he'd come at you with five lies. So you have to choose either to refute every single lie and get on a rabbit trail, or come back with the thing that you want to say. It takes a lot of concentration, and it's not as easy sometimes as those of us watching think that it is. But I'm with you. Kevin, are you in New Jersey?
Well, I'm visiting my parents, and I'm listening to you. I woke up this morning, and I immediately put on my AFR app and and introduce my parents to Sandy Rios in the morning.
So, well, thanks.
They'll be hearing Dan Chilia and all the rest of the show.
Well, that's very cool. Well, stay safe up there in New Jersey, you know, for all those obvious reasons. Thanks a lot, Kevin. I appreciate you listening and introducing your folks to us. All right, let me just say that shooter, by the way, we're not talking, I chose not to discuss all those other things today about shooters, but the shooter in Houston yesterday is dead. That's that so-called disgruntled attorney. Now, that's a mystery. He, I think, shot 9 people. So that's the update on that in case you hadn't heard that this morning. All right, let's go to, we're talking about the debate, though, this morning on purpose. Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Damon. Good morning, Damon.
Hi, Sandy. Good morning.
Good morning. What did you think?
So, you know, I couldn't agree with Kevin more. That was going to be the first part of my call. I think, you know, there was a lot of times that I was really on the edge of my seat when he was what felt like throwing a softball and really didn't even swing at the ball. But I also think there were moments that we saw a guy that really is capable of these debates. And I'll give you an example. And I haven't heard anybody talk about it. There was a moment where she says, you know, we've got somebody in the audience here who was an architect that you didn't even bother paying. And I thought he did a great job at saying, well, you know, maybe this guy didn't do the job he was supposed to do. And maybe that's why I didn't pay him. And he took a spin on that and brought it back to our government and the way that we are, that they are spending our money right now, how long they're taking on projects. Nobody's being held accountable. And I thought it was almost brilliant moment in the debate, and I don't know if anybody else picked up on that, but I thought it was really good.
David,
and then again at the end,
go ahead, finish your thought.
Yeah, and then again at the end, I think he did another really good job of really articulating that. You know, she's had 26 years to get this stuff done, that she's saying she's just going to start on now. I mean, is that really what you want to put out there? So,
yes.
Anyhow, those are just my thoughts.
No, it's great. And the first point that you made is absolutely true. It was brilliant. I mean, you're right. I have not really talked about his strong moments because the overall, I was like, oh, come on, come on. But you're right. He made some very good points that I think are sticking with people. And that one was a good one because she went on and on about him, contractor. She said she'd interviewed people, painters, people that worked for him that he hadn't paid. Like, she's going to do that. I'm sorry. I don't believe that part. But she claimed she's interviewed all these workers who worked for him and weren't paid. And then he says, well, maybe they didn't do the job. And maybe that's the reason government is in the position it's in, because our roads are falling apart, our bridges, and we just keep paying everybody. We are not careful. We don't hold people accountable. It was excellent, Damon. You're right, and I appreciate you mentioning that and reminding me. All right, thanks a lot for your call. Let's go to Kentucky. And Jerry, what do you think about what happened?
Good morning, Miss Sandy.
Good morning.
Pardon me, can't even believe I'm talking to you. I hold you in the highest esteem, because God speaks through you and you bring truth to us. Your
Thank
listeners
you.
Are very informed, too. It's wonderful.
Thank you, Jerry.
What I thought we saw is a politician for 30 years, Hillary. What she knows is perhaps just by osmosis. You know, she soaked some of that in. And Mr. Trump is not a politician, and he said so. I'm a businessman. So we saw the dynamics of that. I've been a Mr. Trump supporter for, gosh, maybe a year, and I'm already calling him President Trump. I'm all for him. I think he's our guy. He's going to do. But here's what I wanted to say, really. Hillary was smug. I didn't like that. Not surprised at all for the way she acted. And Mr. Trump was a gentleman. The cut you played just a moment ago about him saying that he wasn't going to do that, it wasn't nice. So I really appreciated his, yes, being a gentleman, because there was some dynamics there that we've never seen, you know, a male and a female. So he was a gentleman, and I appreciated that, and I love him. Here's what I wanted to say. A couple of days ago, you were talking about the Calvinism and the, you know, God's will is going to be done, right? Well, here's what I thought of, and here's our hope. You remember, and I'm going to paraphrase, when Moses and God was talking just before they went into the wilderness, and God told Moses, he said, y'all go on, and I'll meet you in Israel, because I can't go with you because you're a stiff-necked bunch of people, and I'll destroy them before they get there.
Now, what Moses did not say is, okay, God, that's your will, and can't change that, and I'll see you in Israel. He did not say that. Moses said, wait a minute. If you're not going to go with us, I'm not going to go. And God changed his mind and said, okay, I'll go with you.
Good point, Jerry.
A fire at night and a cloud by day. So our hope, Miss Sandy, is to pray for God to equip Mr. Trump with what he needs and when he needs it. And let's pray that as a nation.
Jerry, that's good. I'm going to have to interrupt you, but I think you made a very good point, and I appreciate it. But I need to get to just a few more people before we say goodbye. But thank you for those insights. Let's go to Alabama and talk to Roy.
Hi, Sandy.
Roy, what do you think?
Oh, well, with Hillary being the known and established liar that she is, nothing she could say would sway me. And to me, the debate was all Donald Trump's victory. When you got a liar in front of you, I mean, why would you even have a debate, knowing that you have a liar there in front of you?
But, Roy, you've got a whole bunch of people. You got so many people watching who don't really know. They don't. Maybe some of them have gotten the wind of the fact that she might not be so honest. But the debates are really, I think, for people that are not so clued in. So,
yeah. Just my personal thought.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Roy. Thank you. I appreciate your personal thought. Let's go to Louisiana and talk to Lisa. Good morning, Lisa. What are your thoughts?
Good morning. I just wanted to say that I think, Donald Trump did well. Hillary Clinton was well rehearsed, I think. But he did well in composing himself. Although I was a little disappointed that he did not bring up, certain points. Take that opportunity.
Anything in particular, Lisa? Anything in particular?
Yes. Particularly about our national security.
Oh, yes. Yes.
As soon as she said, she was talking all these things about, we need to do this, we need to do that. I feel like he should have stepped in and said, can we really trust you with our national security based on, you using a server, that was not
secure,
a classified, server that you're supposed to go through, and all this stuff leaked out, as well. And, you being the secretary, you should know that, you're not supposed to be using a private email, for these, messages that are going back and forth.
Yeah. He actually had a really good exchange with her on that, and he talked about, in fact, have we got it? Let's play number six really quickly, Jeff.
I will say this. We have a situation in this country that has to be taken care of. I will release my tax returns against my lawyer's wishes.
Number six. I'm so sorry. We want number six. All right. Well, I guess we didn't get to hear that. That's the email exchange where Trump talks about how what she did was completely wrong. And she says, I made a mistake. He's not a mistake. He said, it isn't a mistake what you did. You had your assistants plead the Fifth Amendment. You hid your email server. And the American people know it was more than a mistake. It really was a very good moment for him. I wish we could have heard it. Maybe we'll hear it today. All right, listen, thank you to each and every one of you for your comments. And, we have two more debates to go. So we all wait, don't we? And we pray as we wait. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.